Hey, this is Matt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Top Cow Chronology Project.
All right, thank you for joining us once again for another episode of Comic Source Presents the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your co-host Jace, here with Jaden and Manny.
Hey there.
Hey.
And just a reminder, if you want to take a look at the chronology, you can go to our website, comicsourceblog.com, click on the Top Cow Chronology Project link, and you can take a look at the chronology there by clicking on the Comic Vine logo. And of course, that chronology is courtesy of user Condor from the Comic Vine website, so we thank him for his hard work. And also, we're at our site. You can look around, see what other projects we have going on. Now I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Manny. He's going to go down the creative team for the issue we're covering this episode, which is The Darkness Black Sails.
All right. Cover date on that is going to be March 2005, written by Ron Mars, penciled and inked, and colored by Keo Cha.
All right, Jaden, what were your overall thoughts about The Darkness Black Sails?
I actually liked this comic quite a bit. The entire thing is painted, and I really like the way that it looks, and the story flows really well. I really like pretty much everything about it. I think it's a really well-written comic book.
Manny, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it as well, and the art's really, really nice, in my opinion. There's enough information that was given where we know what was going on. And at this point, you know, with how much we know about the darkness, you know, not a lot was needed to really understand, you know, the fear that some of the crew members had. And then also when this pirate attacked, it was, we kind of saw it coming, but, you know, just a different place for them. And it was enjoyable.
I liked it as well. You said March 2005. It really shows a difference between, or perhaps I should say, it really shows the progression of digital painting between this and, what was it, the Trinity Blood Sands?
Mm-hmm.
One that we read. What was the date on that one? Anybody remember? Was it 99, maybe? Let's check. Take a look real fast. Actually, no. Trinity Blood of Sands was 2009, so this one was 2009 also. But digital painting seems so much better in this issue to me. You know, better backgrounds. It didn't look quite so cold and plastic. Maybe just a difference in the talent of the artist. But I also felt that this was exceptionally well done. And as far as the story goes, yeah, maybe a little predictable. But the pacing was well done, the dialogue, the scripting was well done, not a lot of cheesy dialogue. And I should say just a little about the story. Basically, this is the meeting between the Darkness Bearer and the Bearer of Magdalena, which is another of the artifacts in the Top Cow universe that we're seeing for the first time.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and right inside the front cover, Darkness Black Sails, Old Tales of the Darkness. He was not the first, nor will he be the last. There were others. And as Manny said, it was written by Ron Mars, who's done a lot of work with Top Cow. Top Cow's the main company he works for these days. You know, he's done work over at DC and Marvel, but mostly does either creator-owned or freelance work for Top Cow now. And he's done a lot of the work in the Artifact universe. So, for him to handle these two characters, I felt, even though we still haven't learned enough about the darkness to really have a good handle on what exactly the darkness is, it felt more relatable, it didn't seem so foreign to me. You know, previous times we've read darkness books, I felt kind of lost as to, you know, what exactly the darkness is, and didn't really get a feel for the characterization, who the Darkness Bearer was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it just works better with the Darkness Bearer being a pirate, because so often, especially recently in pirate movies, they're kind of possessed by some sort of dark magic as well, so it was a little bit more relatable, like you said.
Well, I just feel like in the past, every time we've seen the Darkness Bear, it's been, you know, one of those villains twirling his mustache, like, oh, I'm so terrible. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Didn't seem like a real person up to, you know, this point. Even the Darkness Bear in the Trinity Sands, you know, he's just like, oh, I'm the darkness of the desert, and I'm evil. You know, bad things happen to good people, you know? And there's not... It didn't seem like a real person. It just felt like, you know, two-dimensional, typical, mustache-twirling villain. Where this guy... I mean, I almost didn't even get the feel that he was really that bad, you know? I mean, obviously he was. He attacked the ship, and, you know, he said, leave no survivors or whatever. But I don't know, there was just something about him that I liked, you know?
I mean, he is a pirate, so... I mean, that's just what pirates do, is they pillage ships, so... This guy just happens to have the darkness.
Yeah, that would be a great advantage as a pirate, for sure.
Well, the last page in this book really leaves it to question as to, you know, how much personality and, how, you know, if is there maybe a little bit of light in him? Because he was really pondering, you know, what just happened. And that to me gave him a lot of personality, just that alone. You know, he's kind of looking out and really thinking about what just happened, and he happens to have the spear in his hand.
Yeah, which I believe it would be the Magdalena. Mm-hmm. But those last two panels, it almost looks like it's beginning to be light, and, you know, we know from reading, like, Lodbrok's hand that the darkness can only be in, you know, at nighttime or whatever, so that makes you kind of wonder. I mean, does his ship go underwater too during the daylight hours, or...
It, you know, might, because the pirate, the other... I don't know what you call him.
The savage on the main
ship.
Yeah,
the savage, he said it comes from hell, from underneath or something like that, I think I read.
Yeah, but he had a regular crew also, so you just wonder. Yeah.
What, was it a regular crew, or was it a crew that kind of like transformed themselves from demons?
They were a regular crew.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, the regular crew said, you know, these Spaniards sell their lives dearly, and then, you know, that's when he opened up his cloak and summoned the demons. So, well, let's give a quick synopsis of the story here. So it starts out, the setting is October 1671. We're on the Atlantic Ocean, 200 miles east of Hispaniola, which is down in the Caribbean. And we see a ship sailing through some fog, and the captain's lamenting that the darkness is bad enough, but the fog is the breath of the devil himself. They can't see anything. And then he asks that the senora on the ship excuse his language. He's not used to sailing with a woman on board. And he says that he's confident they'll be able to deliver both her and their cargo safely. And she says that she appreciates the concern, but she was chosen because she can protect herself and complete her task all on her own. The captain says, of course, I meant no offense. Just sea can be a harsh mistress. You know, just ask the savage here, and there's this big hulking, I don't know, he looks like maybe a Native American of some sort, and he tells of Miguel Estacado, and of course we know in modern times the darkness is wielded by Jackie Estacado, so it'll be interesting to see if maybe it's something that the darkness is something that runs in the family, the Estacado family. He tells of working on a Dutch trader that was attacked by the darkness. I'm assuming at this point, when I read it through it the first time, that was the name of the ship that Miguel Estacado captained. Anyway, the darkness ship shot chain through the broadside of the Dutch trader, boarded, killed everyone on board, and sank it. And the only reason the savage survived was by clinging to a fallen mast as the sharks had their fill of his dead crewmates. The captain says, "Steal your tongue, you damn savage. Don't cause this. There's no cause to scare the poor woman." And she says, "I don't scare easily." And then she suggests that perhaps if Estacado plies these waters, they should put out their lights so that he won't be attracted by the lights. And the savage says that the light is the only ally you have. Meanwhile, in the crow's nest, the lookout up there spots the darkness ship coming at them fast, pulls up alongside, and they board. Big brawl between the various crew members of each ship. And we see a full-page splash of of Miguel Estacado saying, "No quarter, no mercy." Meanwhile, Miguel Estacado asks one of his crew members if they've found the treasure, He says, no, haven't had a chance to go below because the Spaniards sell their lives so dearly. And Miguel says, do they? Well, then, Mr. Delgado, let's see them. Let's see to it they sell them quickly. And he opens his cloak and all manner of demons emerge and start killing off all the Spaniards. And they track down the captain of the ship that they've attacked. And he asks where the cargo's kept. And the captain replies, what matter? It'll be no use to you in hell. And he fires his pistol at Miguel Estacado, but a little demon jumps in front, blocks the bullet, and then spits it out of his mouth. Pretty cool little scene there. And then Miguel Estacado has his demons rip the captain apart, heads below to find the cargo, and there he meets the savage. There's a short fight. The savage is killed, and as he is there dying, he says, you will be damned, and Miguel Estacado says, I already am, and moves on into the next chamber of the hold, saying he expected one treasure, not two. And there he sees the female christened Benedita Maria Ferro, but her true calling is that of the Magdalena, and she has the spear head on a shaft, and apparently it's the spear that pierced Christ on the cross. And they battle, and though Miguel Estacado is wounded, he apparently is able to keep fighting and basically tears the guts of the Magdalena bear out. And as she is dying, she says that the sacrifice will not be for nothing, and she basically punches a hole in the bottom of the ship so that the ship starts to sink. Meanwhile, Miguel says, woman, what have you done? And he calls for all his people, his crew members, to retreat to their ship, but not before he takes the Magdalena with him. And then on the final page, we see the Spanish ship sinking, and Miguel laments that it's a rare prize that is now lost for all time, and it's a useless waste to sink to the bottom of the sea. One of his crew members says, aye, Captain, but there are others, yes? And he replies, other ships, of course. Mr. Delgado, there are always others. Hoist sail, we'll seek new prey, another night will fall. And he's holding the spear. So, as I said, a very well-done story, well-plotted, pacing is well-done, as is the scripting and the art. And just the characterization of Miguel Delgado makes me wonder, you know, him saying that he's damned, and especially if the darkness runs in the Estacado family. Are they willing bearers of the darkness, or is it a curse? Did he take the Magdalena spear because he hopes to cure himself of the darkness? A lot of questions raised. You know, is it possible to use the darkness for heroic purposes? Is Miguel Estacado just, you know, a product of his time, trying to do whatever he can to survive, so he turned to piracy?
I feel like that might be what he is doing. Is he's not very happy with himself, but this is what he has brought himself to do, and this is how he decided that he wanted to keep himself going. He's not. He doesn't seem very happy in this last page, but
no. Very well done expression by Keo Cha. I mean, the art throughout is done really, really well.
I haven't seen it. There's nothing in here that I don't like. I haven't seen anything that really doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, and I, you know, out of all these kind of one-shots that, you know, looking back in the past at different artifact bearers in the Top Cow universe, this is the one that I've read so far that I could really see being a series that I would pick up on a monthly basis. You know, just reading stories about Miguel Estacado and piracy, and I think that would be a really enjoyable series. So, any other thoughts, Manny?
Nope, nothing that hasn't been shared already.
It's a really cool cover, too. Cover's got much brighter colors than a lot of the interior art. Really makes it pop. And seeing him with the Miguel Estacado on the cover with a little bit of the darkness armor and some of the, or at least one of the little demon imps that he, you know, calls from the darkness, has a little skull and crossbones on his bandana on his head. It's a nice touch. You know, and he's wearing, you know, I guess you'd say typical pirate-looking garb. The ship burning in the background. It's just a really cool-looking cover. All right, I guess that's it for the Darkness Black Sails. Not much else to say. Don't forget, if you want to contact us, you can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. You can follow us on Twitter. twitter.com/thecomicsource. You can drop us an email at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And of course, you can check out our website, thecomicsourceblog.com.
And I should also mention really fast, if you're having trouble finding The Darkness Black Sails, you can find it on eBay. It's actually in The Darkness Trade Paperback Volume 6, subtitled Depths of Hell. and it's about $5 or $6. Or you can go to InStock Trades if you want to get a brand new copy for yourself. It is $8.69 on InStock Trades, brand new plus shipping. So once again, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Make sure you join us next time when we will be talking about Tales of the Witchblade number 1.